This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
We're signing an executive order. I consider it to be a very important executive order. It's about keeping families together while at the same time being sure that we have a very powerful, very strong border, and border security will be equal, if not greater, than previously. So we're going to have strong, very strong borders.
A lot can happen in 24 hours. It's a whole different deal at the border when it comes to separating families and all of the screaming children and the tears and the photographs and the protests. So many in Congress called, and boy, what a reversal this is. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. So the president does that rare reversal kind of thing, says that Melania, his wife, and Ivanka, his daughter, talked to him about it, as did some others. He talked about that seeing what was going on and constantly being barraged with the photographic and the video evidence, that it was not right. He didn't like the sight of feeling or the feeling of the families being separated, so he signed the order. And he said, you're going to have a lot of happy people. And the decision is a surprise reversal. Very big surprise reversal. The Homeland Security Secretary said, look, Congress and the courts are really responsible for so much of this, and Congress can do something about it. They can fix it, which I agree. This is on Congress. They have passed the ball for a long time on this, and they are the lawmakers in our country. They debate, set the laws, etc. So the president decided to change course following days of this massive amount of news coverage featuring, as I mentioned, images of young kids, often hysterical, in massive tears, being held inside detention facilities near the U.S.-Mexico border. We kept hearing the word immoral more than I've ever heard it in my whole life. So that helped prompt part of what happened here. So zero tolerance is erased for now. But what happens is there's massive amounts of pressure to hurry and go through the process of those that get to stay, those that are being deported, all of what could possibly happen as you go through the system, I'll call it that. So now there is the need for speed, because guess what also happens? Every single day, keeping the families together, what detention centers, where is this happening? The feeding, the housing, the clothing, the conditions, all of that is on the U.S. And it's now going to be magnified in a different way. So 2,000 detained kids plus, because it's actually a little over that. And now it's just a question of how fast can they process these people. So separating children from their illegal immigrant parents along the border, it's not going to happen. But there are, by the way, all of the children that I just mentioned, the 2,000, that are already in custody. So now they have to be reunited with parents. Some of them are, by the way, toddlers and infants. They say they'll immediately be reunited with parents. So the president's order, does that mean that the directive only applies to new cases involving children arriving in the U.S. with illegal immigrant parents or guardians? There is some confusion as to how that's going to look, and I think it's the new ones, but infants and toddlers would be reunited immediately. Because some of these kids are really spread out. I mean, some of the kids are being held in facilities that are pretty much on the opposite ends of the country from their parents. So what kind of system is there to reunite them once you get to that part of it, if that's where it's going to go? And it takes about 2 months to process these people. So anything new, anybody new coming in, any of that, no worries. No worries in the sense that there is worries, but they won't be separated. But I still think there's some lingering questions that are difficult to answer. Because what about the children, the 2,000 already? What about those that are here already? And there were hundreds of separated kids that were sent to New York. How many? Where are they being housed? All of that. There's some big, big question marks about where they are, what's happening, anything that you can imagine surrounding these kids. And now, the airlines are asking the government not to use their flights to carry the children separated at the border. So that adds to some of the confusion because that was happening before. So this is going to take a while to sort even this part of it out. However, the executive order is signed. So now if they're being placed in private homes, they're scattered across 14 states. And how many minors and what does that mean? All of that will have to be pulled apart by the Department of Homeland Security, also by the Department of Health and Human Services. They're going to have that as well on their doorstep. And how quickly will some of those kids be reunited? To say we live in interesting times is an understatement, isn't it? It's an understatement. This had to happen. The optics were brutal. And there were a lot of concerns with Republicans buckling too and saying this can't stand as to what was going to happen in the midterm elections because of how furious, people were. The Senate, by the way, while the executive order was going on, the Senate moved ahead with a border bill despite what was happening with the press. So the Republicans on Wednesday said legislation is still needed to address the overflow of detained immigrants, but they are unlikely to pick up enough Democrats to get that bill anyway. The Republicans unveiled a bill that merged a bunch of ideas put forth from a couple of senators, John Cornyn, one of them, from Texas, and Tom Tillis from North Carolina, Ted Cruz, also from Texas, Tom Cotton, who was taking a lot of heat, the Republican from Arkansas. And they were trying to put together a package that could get the support of the entire Republican conference. Contrasting that, Democrats were holding their own meetings to come up with some sort of compromise bill. Let's put it that way. Nothing yet. Will there be funding for that wall? We're jumping the wall. I'll meet you on the other side, theoretically, as we dive into the mailbag on America Tonight.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. 877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Mail, letters, papers, and packages delivered by carrier, train, and plane, sent and delivered through post, regardless of
change.
To the mailbag. I love it. That's what it feels like sometimes when I wake up and I look at all the mail. I say, yikes, you gotta be kidding me. Wow. What an audience, by the way, we have for that. You can always go to AmericaTonightRadio.com, AmericaTonightRadio.com, and click on contact and boom, let it rip, whatever it is you want to talk about or mention or any of that. So we got a kind of a mixed bag here. Not a surprise. We always get that. The executive order comes down, and here is what Paco had to say. Bravo to the Prez. He is flexible. He's no dummy. He's a businessman. He realizes that the jig was up. Seeing all of that footage of the kids was not good for other Republicans. So for the sake of the midterm elections, for the sake of the way it looked to the rest of the world, and for the sake of peace at home with his own wife and daughter, not liking the separation of the really young babies, he actually did the right thing. I don't dislike the president, but I'm not in love with him either. So I think my opinion counts, as I am somewhere in the middle, as you call it, Ms. Delaney. All right, so I think it's fair to say, yes, for some of those reasons you mentioned, he came up with the executive order because it just didn't make any sense. But now the fate of the separated families, the ones that are in the middle of it and then coming in, anybody coming forward now, it will be easier to handle that. But what happened before will be much more difficult. How about this? We got this one. from Manny, who says, Kate, you're not going to believe this because I'm somebody who came to the United States legally when I was 23. I think it's sad what's happening at the border. I think the zero tolerance policy, though, was something that had to happen because things have to change. And you've mentioned it many, many times on your show. You've had experts on the show. You've talked about what coulda, shoulda happened in the past. But we can't go back to the past. We have to move forward. So what is the solution? Nobody ever comes up with the right solution. It is tough. It is an incredible burden on the United States financially in some of these pocket areas. But something has to be done. So I think all the still pictures we saw and all the video we saw and all the conversation was actually really good because now maybe we'll finally have something happen with substance. Build the wall. I think it'll work. I've mentioned this before. If you're going to build the wall, I think the thing to do is people automatically assume, and I get it because there's some really sparse areas, you'd have to have drones, you'd have to have video cams, because then you could really have people watching it. So the argument of, well, they can dig under it, you can get away, you can get around it. If there are other ways to patrol it. And some of those I obviously just mentioned there. This one is from Matthew, who says, Kate, I know that you also like sports. I love the Invade the Man Cave segments. Not kidding. LeBron James, is he back with the Cavaliers next year? I'm a lifelong Cleveland fan, or does he end up in some other spot in the NBA? Oh, if I could only look at my cracked crystal ball and tell you the answer to that. The free agency frenzy is like crazy for him. I mean, there's no question about it. So can he play wherever he wants? Well, of course he can play wherever he wants. He wants to play where he has a chance. Is it going to be Houston? Houston could be a good guess. If Chris Paul's there, him and James Harden, that's pretty formidable. And how do you get around the Warriors? If they met in the West, wouldn't that be interesting? Houston, Philly, L.A., taking kids out of schools, looking at neighborhoods, relocating. How big is the comfortable factor? Oh, if I'm a Cleveland fan, I don't really want him to move. I'm going to say there's a 70% chance he will snap up another offer. And you can bet that they're trying to come up with offers that are enticing at these other places. That's the answer to the question. So we bop to another one. How about this from Jake? Kate, I heard you mention the markets the other day and talking about how negative news affects the markets. And did you see there's a little bit of a turnaround during the day, which is, I think, really good news? I do. The NASDAQ, the S&P were up, the Dow was down. But it is about the news. If you shake them up with tariffs, you shake them up with something else that could happen, the market drops slightly. Or if there's earnings reports aren't up to what was forecasted, sometimes that can also take a little nick out of the market. Certainly millionaires aren't worried about it. The millionaire's wealth is up 11% and it tops $70 trillion. Money, money, money. Really, I just saw this today. And why? Global economy, strong stock market performances, some of the reasons, because diversification is so key, isn't it? Of course. And high net worth people around the world have investments returning above 20% for the second year in a row. Because you also have to think stock-wise even, what are they putting into stocks? The United States, Japan, Germany, and China are the four largest markets for millionaires. 61% of the world's high net worth individuals come from those places that I just mentioned. This one is from Nick. Nick says, hello, Kate Delaney. I was wondering as I'm watching what's happening across the United States, and very glad that I'm escaping for a week. Frankly, it's such a crazy circus. I'm wondering if you saw perhaps the story about the bear killing the hiker, and then went after one of the search party folks, too. And I want to say this was in Alaska. So all of a sudden we're having these bear problems in a lot of different parts of the United States. What do you think of that? What do I think of it? I think it's horrific. Is someone being attacked by a bear? So there was an Alaskan hiker, and that's what happened. And they were looking for the missing guy. So the body of the hiker, Michael Soltis, was discovered Wednesday after a member of the search party had a leg injury when a brown bear attacked. So the brown bear was protecting the body when it attacked the search party person. Oh, that's so scary. Aggressive bear. I mean, they think the bear attacked the volunteer, and that was the one that attacked and killed the missing man. They said it would have to be because that would be the behavior they would exhibit. He went missing Monday night. He's on a hike just northeast of Anchorage. And they don't know whether it's predatory or defensive. They have no way to know what happened there. It's it's scary though. But hiking, to me, I don't. And this is someone who doesn't hike, or I have in the past, but not in a very long time. It's like the other, and I'll have to ask him about this when he comes on again next week. But the other is infuriating when you go to some place. And I'm not overprotective at all, but when you go to some place, like, for example, we took my mother's ashes to Maui, and the water was rough, and we were on a beach in the middle of kind of nowhere, and boom, he disappears and swims off to snorkel, and we don't see him for almost 2 hours, and then that's scary to me because I see no snorkel anywhere. So it's not like there's he's not snorkeling in front of me. Then, of course, I read the next day in the paper, because they don't like the stats to get out, that there was tiger shark attacks. And now, like I said, we're reading about bear attacks. The guy was alone. He didn't have a fellow hiker with him. I don't know. There's something about safety in numbers, right? Or at least somebody with you who could possibly help you if you're being attacked. Stay with us. Coming up next, it's Forbes Books at Bedtime with Yoram Solomon. Wait till you meet him. So interesting.
Message and data rates may apply.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 55 to 443-443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 55 to 443-443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 55 to 443-443. That's BEST 55 to 443-443.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. President Trump is stirring controversy with a new tweet about immigrants that he likens to invaders. He says, quote, "We cannot allow all of these people to invade our country. When somebody comes in, we must immediately, with no judges or court cases, bring them back from where they came. Our system is a mockery to good immigration policy and law and order. He goes on to say, immigration must be based on merit. We need people who will help to make America great again. On NBC's Meet the Press, independent Senator Angus King says, there has to be a court process.
People coming to claim asylum are not illegal immigrants. Under the law, they have a right to establish their claim of asylum, that they're in a legitimate fear for their life, that they're fleeing persecution in their home country. And that applies, by the way, to people coming from other parts of the world.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I'm not just a conservative talk show host. I'm a father of four kids. When we all send our kids to school each day, the second most important thing is that they get good grades. But the most important thing by far is they come home safe and sound in one piece. Trained as an Army Ranger and former Deputy Sheriff, Joe Curran thought the same thing. That's why he invented a product called Bullet Blocker. He invented the world's first bulletproof backpack. Now Joe has built a super successful company around safety products for your most precious assets, your kids and your family. Bullet Blocker is an American company. They custom make a ton of products bullet resistant. Backpacks, bulletproof clothing, vests, fleeces, briefcases. Bullet Blocker gives you the gift of life. Clothing that looks cool, but protects your children's life with the same coverage as police body armor. Everything works with Department of Education guidelines. Go to bulletblocker.com and enter code WAR to save 10% on your order. That's bulletblocker.com, bulletblocker.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Very excited to welcome to the show Dr. Yoram Solomon. He is a guy who, boy, we could probably do 10 hours with him, Greg, but we have limited time.
I didn't bring my lunch.
I know you needed to. I mean, listen, I'm not kidding you. He just did a TEDx talk that was awesome. He's got 21 patents in the U.S. and worldwide. He has written 8 books. And I'll tell you what, he wrote one of my favorite books that talks about unkilling creativity, or it's unkill creativity. Cultures start with you, not your boss. And he's done so many more, like I said, that we could talk to him forever, including Blueprints for the Next Big Thing. I like that too as well. So I have my favorite.
I personally have a preference, Yoram, for the book Bowling with a Crystal Ball.
That was my first one.
I love that. So you have this propensity, you're very verbose and you want to get it all out there. And it's funny because people struggle with the whole idea of writing a book, but you've written them, put them together, etc. I mean, I said it, you published 8 books. So let's start there. What started you down that path with the book that Greg just mentioned?
Well, actually, first of all, my problem is the opposite. My problem is I need to stop writing books and do other things.
say that to a podcast set of podcast hosts who work for Forbes Books. We don't think there could ever be enough books.
Yeah. What happened was back in 2007. Well, actually, this just started in 2005 when I took on the role of a strategy director for a business unit in Texas Instruments, actually a business group. And the result of my work, I tried to understand what would be the future of connectivity, specifically wired connectivity. And as I did my research in forecasting technological trends, that we, because they're so aggressive, we tend to think that they're so unpredictable. What I found was that they are not only aggressive, but highly predictable. So I started investigating and interviewing people who lead technologies in the world, not just in the U.S., to find why, actually the psychological reasons to why those technological trends are so predictable. The result of that was the creation of USB 3. The current generation of USB really started with that work. You know, there are different sides to the story. Some of the sides actually come clear more in the culture starts with you, not your boss, more on the organizational side. But the technological side came together back in 2005. And as a result, I decided to put it down in writing and describe how did I get there? How did I get to USB 3? And not just USB 3, but kind of provide the tools that would allow anybody, any technologist or a marketing person, in specifically in high tech, know where the future of technology is. And so I wrote this book, and of course this book had a chapter 18 that was called Putting It All Together, The Story of USB 3. The only problem was that Intel had not announced USB 3 at that time. And I was not going to announce USB 3 for them through my book. And so I published the book in 2007. It came without chapter 18, Putting It All Together, The Story of USB 3. And sure enough, 2 months later, Intel announced USB 3. And what I decided to do is, because that book actually had, 18 different trends, technological trends that I forecasted 7 years out, in 2014, I revisited and found that I was accurate within 3% in forecasting some of the most aggressive technology trends. And then I decided to release the second edition of that same book, this time with Here Is What the Reality Was, and Chapter 18, Putting It All Together, The Story of USB 3.
We're talking with Dr. Yoram Solomon. He's an innovator, as you've heard, a speaker, an author, as you've heard, an educator. You can find him at yoramsolomon.com, yoramsolomon.com. And I want to ask you about one of your other books, which is Unkill Creativity, How Corporate America Can Out-Innovate Startups. Where did you get the title Unkill Creativity? Because it's compelling, but it's also a little scary.
Well, it actually came from an article that came from Teresa Amabile. Teresa Amabile is a professor she initially was a professor for psychology, but then moved to the business school in Harvard. And she wrote an article, and I'm trying to remember, I think the year was 98. And the title of that article was How to Kill Creativity. And she gave her model of the factors that affect creativity in the workplace. She wrote books since then, and she was my hero in that area of what affects creativity in organizations. I used a lot of her work in my PhD dissertation that was on the same topic. Why are people so much more creative when they work in startups than when they work in mature companies? And I thought that when I was ready to not only explain why those differences are, but what can large companies do to be as creative as startups? Because I truly believe that every company has the potential of being the most innovative company in the world, and it's really just a matter of culture. So when I put together all those rules and all those processes and things that companies need to do, I thought that the best title would be to kind of close this circle with Teresa Amabile's article, How to Kill Creativity, and write a book on how to unkill creativity.
So it's fascinating. So explain that to us. If you were just going to give us and you gave us the reason for it, but how do you do that? How do you, you know, the culture starting with you, so how do you really make that work?
Well, it starts with how do you think that you've become an innovative company? We tend to focus on the tools. So there's design thinking and trees and all kinds of tools, lean startup, all these tools are great, but I like to compare them to my military background. If I put a high-performance sniper rifle in your hand and give you the best ammunition, match-grade ammunition, you're still not going to be able to take a 1,000-yard shot. You really need to have the right attitude, the right culture. So having those tools is not enough. You need to also have the right culture. Now, how do you build that right culture? First of all, we like to think of culture when we talk about organizational culture. Oh, this is something that my boss is responsible for. If you read the story of USB 3 as told in Unkill Creativity and also in Culture Starts With You, when you read that story, you realize that culture does not have to start with your boss. You can't look at your boss and say, well, it's your fault. You're the one that's not creating the right culture. You have a role in it, and you can actually turn this around as well. So every employee in the company has the responsibility of creating a culture of innovation. But then it comes to one element, and that one element that allows you to build a culture of innovation or kills any possibility of having that kind of culture is what I call, and trademarked, trust actions. It's really trust, and it's the transactions that build trust in an organization.
You know, it's interesting, Yoram, as you were talking about culture and your book, Culture Starts With You, Not Your Boss, I realized that I met somebody recently, and I can't even remember who it was, so the person didn't stick with me, but her story did. She went to work for a company that had a very sort of repressive culture, and she's not a repressive person at all. And she turned it into a total party culture. How did she do it? By just showing up for work every day and being a party person. Now, she never did anything that was inappropriate for the workplace. In fact, everything she did made the workplace an even more efficient, creative place. But she was not the boss. She was just someone in a cube. But she transformed the culture in exactly the way you're saying, by literally just being a culture that overpowered the repressiveness. And the repressiveness, frankly, was not very good for the company.
Exactly, and that's exactly the message that comes from Culture Starts With You, Not Your Boss. The story of USB 3, you know, the first part of it was the technology forecasting, but the second part of it is going to my boss, a senior VP in the company, and presenting a business plan for USB 3 and getting rejected. So he did not want to do that. He said, first, bring a customer. And, of course, I didn't have a customer at that time. I just knew that this is bound to happen. We have to have USB 3. So, you know, I went home that day, and I decided that I'm going to resign. I'm going to write my resignation letter. The thing is, I have this rule about never writing a resignation letter in the evening. Always write it in the morning when you're fresh and creative and can use long words. And so I got up in the morning and decided to write my resignation letter, except I decided that, or was planning to write the resignation letter, except that morning I woke up and decided that instead of writing resignation letter, I'm going to do USB 3. And so it's doing it without the boss's permission and taking ownership and accountability for it. And eventually, you know, right now we have 4 billion USB 3 ports shipped every year, and it was because I wouldn't take no for an answer. So that's part of how you create a culture.
Wow, this is so fascinating that if you have the time, we would love to carry you over and talk to you yet again some more, Dr. Solomon.
I would love that.
Excellent. So we're going to be back with more with Dr. Solomon. You'll be able to catch that in our next show. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
Thank you.
Mo Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
I'm so thrilled about our next guest. He's in our virtual green room, and he's talking about something that we don't talk about enough, in my opinion. And I know I've had to deal with this, and it's been tough, and I think it's because I grew up in a house where we never talked about this word, death. We never really talked about it. You know, people that once somebody died, including my father, died when I was 8, there wasn't a lot of discussion. So Ryan McCormick joins us. He is the host of the Outer Limits of Inner Truth radio show, and he just did the death show, a 14-part series on healing and understanding. Love that title. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us.
It's an honor to be here with you and your listeners, Mr. Lady. Thank you so much for having me.
So you heard what I said, that I think death is, it's like a dirty word. I mean, we all know that this is the end, no matter how much money we have, no matter what we do in our life. I mean, you know, ultimately we're all going to die. We don't know when. The only discussion when I was a kid that was ever, that I ever had about death was my great grandmother, Ryan, said, "You can't do anything about it. I think it's an expiration date that's stamped on your head when you're born." Poof, and that was it. So I love that you explored this. What made you want to do a show on this?
Well, the original motivation for doing this show was that one of my closest friends experienced a horrible tragedy, and I wanted to bring something out of it. I wanted to bring something into the world that would hopefully try to bring some meaning to that tragedy and impact people in a positive way. I'm so sick of everyone saying, oh, you know, thoughts and prayers. I'm like, well, there's got to be something more than that. So what I wanted to do is put together a 14-part series on death, and we covered the first part is just people talking about how they've lost someone, what to do. So I wanted to provide an experience where people could listen to it, they could grow, they could understand, they could bring some kind of semblance or healing. I wanted to ask questions that I guess most people had any questions to.
So that's interesting. So you say they had a horrible experience. What happened?
Well, my friend's fiance, he was in a car. His fiance and his mother were killed in an accident, and he walked away.
Oh.
So it's horrible. Yeah. So it was just, and it was just unspeakable. And I'm thinking about that, like, you know, that this thing happened. And then a lot of other people have lost someone close to them. So my intention of making this show was, well, what can you say to those people? You know, you just say that the person is in another place, and I just don't want to accept that. So I went up and interviewed 65 different people, and then broke it down into 14 parts. And I wanted to provide as much healing, as much understanding as possible. So it's not just my friend, but anyone who's ever lost someone can have a point of reference where it's just not one perspective, but you have 65 other perspectives. And all of them, collectively speaking, there's one clear message, and it seems that everything's going to be okay eventually, that this is the biggest part of life you can think about.
And it's interesting because you said you interviewed 65 people and all kinds of people. So tell us about some of the people you interviewed in trying to tackle this really tough subject.
Okay. Well, the first thing is, I was bringing back, is I interviewed 7 people who lost someone close to them because I wanted people to know that they're not alone. And then after that, I focus on grief experts and psychologists so they can give you a clear, concise way from their perspective on what to do when you're walking, you know, you're healing. Then I emphasized and talked to people who've actually died, people who've had near-death experiences. We have 15 people who died and came back, talked about their experiences, what it was like. That's probably one of my favorite parts of the show. And then we also went into talking to scientists about the science nature of death and actually how to develop communication with people who are in spirit. And then the end of the show is there's a 4-way debate with 2 atheists. I wanted to bring them on the show, so I wanted to get a number of different perspectives and put it on there. So hopefully a clear message could be out there. And the idea is that all the things that we've come to know and believe about death probably are not true, and that there's so much out there, but it's asking the questions, it's trying to get the answers to those questions that we're all asking, saying, why are we here? Why does this have to happen? You know, is there judgment afterwards? Do we go to heaven? Do we go to hell? Try to focus on tackling all those questions.
Wow, such a broad subject, and congratulations on
thank you
on tackling it that way. And you said it, they said the common thing that you found at the end of this is that it's going to be okay. But what else was revealing to you? Because that's a lot of information. So for you personally in doing this, you always walk away with something. I've interviewed 15,000 people, so I know, right? And you know, you've talked to a lot of people as well. What was the thing that you walked away with?
Well, I'd say there's a couple of quick things. First off, the idea that there is injustice in this world. I see that a lot of things happening. People do horrible things, and then they die, and they don't, you know, see any kind of justice. Apparently, when we die, every action that we bestow upon someone, we experience firsthand. It's called the life review. So there's total justice. And that was revealed by, I think, just about all the people who had a near-death experience. So I think that was probably one of the most important and compelling things. And another thing I learned is that based on the people who had near-death experiences, is that we are all apparently one collective being, and the one collective consciousness breaks parts of itself, parts of its perspective up into several different millions or zillions of life beings to give itself the illusion that it's separate. So we are all imaginary characters of one collective being, apparently. And that's part of things. And also, apparently we have infinite number of evolutions. So we are a human being in this lifetime. We'll probably be something else in another lifetime. That's probably one of the things. Also, I think when it comes to the grief experts, there's just so much more that you can do to help people. And if you're opening yourself up, there are a lot of different ways to help yourself, to heal yourself. So I just think that the whole part of the show is that there's just so much out there. And once we get past the initial fear of not wanting to tackle it, the answers are there. There's so much more out there. There's so much opportunity to heal.
I love that. And maybe this can really spur on more of that conversation because you did a 14-part series. It was probably hard to try to figure out how to break it down, right? Because you had so much great information. At some point, you have to figure out, okay, what can I leave out, or how do I do this?
Oh, no.
That's kind of thing.
done like 70 plus interviews. I think the original show was 22 hours long, so I had to sit down and cut things out and put things in there. And also, it's the energy of the people, too. When you're interviewing someone, you want to make sure that you're putting things together like you're putting together a sheet of music. You want to make sure it flows and it goes well. And when I'm doing a show like this in this capacity, every person has to be contributing something wonderful and amazing. There were some people that we actually were not able to include that to say their expertise wasn't out there, but it just wasn't a fit for it. But I wanted to bring in as many people as possible, the best people as possible. So, you know, scientific perspective, it doesn't matter what you believe, what your spiritual beliefs are. You can come, you can listen to this, and there's no judgment. All it is pure information.
Wow, I love that. Pure information. That's a great way to do it. Hey, I'm putting it out here. Here's what I learned. You decide what you think. I'm not telling you how to think, because we live in that world of, what, fake news, or you're on this side, or yep, you're playing on this. And so you're not saying you have to think this. These are the ways to look at this. And you even interviewed an author and a 9/11 widow, and I bet that was an interesting interview.
It was a very interesting interview because the intensity of her pain was so relevant, and she was talking about what she had gone through in a first-hand experience. And when you talk to these people who've lost someone close to them, you see the personal tragedy that they've had in their life and what they are doing. I feel like the very beginning of that offers a lot of insight on what people can do to begin the healing process. I think so many times when people lose someone, the first thing they do is that they'll turn to their community, they'll turn, and there's going to be one or two people, or maybe an author says, well, this is my perspective. Again, that's the thing. It's like you get the multiple perspectives on it, and trying to get so many perspectives and condensing it down. Believe it or not, the show is 18 hours long total, 14 parts, 18 hours long, and I still think that that is condensed down from hundreds of hours of information. So trying to get all those main ideas and trying to cram it all into one different show was challenging, but I think the information is all there. And again, when you interview the individual, Lisa Luckett, the 9/11 widow, I think it was a beautiful interview, and she really reveals a lot about what she'd gone through and how to help people.
Yeah, no kidding. And I want to tell everyone, I want to make sure we're speaking with Ryan McCormick, and you need to go to, so you can take a look at this show, so you can listen to it. You know, give yourself some time. It's going to be like a subject where it's kind of like that summer reading. Go to one part, go to the next part, because he did such a great job of editing this. So go to outerlimitsradio.com/deathshow. You'll see it there. And when you laid it out, did you end with the discussion with the atheist, right?
Yes, the 14, what I did is at the first 13 shows, and also there's a section in there, too, I forgot to mention, is that we focus specifically an entire segment on pet bereavement. So if you've lost a pet, we interviewed grief experts that focus just on pets alone. And that's totally separate. I ended it with atheists. I ended it with skepticism because I wanted to say that, okay, no matter what we've just gone through, everything is subject to question. So I made that part to challenge everything else that just happened in the program. And the key about it is that I think that, you know, no matter what our beliefs are, it should always be challenging, always be thoroughly asking, even if these beliefs are true to us. So, I mean, as far as my beliefs go, I'm always challenging, always questioning them because, you know, there could be another thing out there, another part of the puzzle we don't see.
Wow. So. What a great conversation. Please go to outerlimitsradio.com/deathshow. Check it out. Ryan McCormick, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ms. Delaney. It's a great honor to be with you and your listeners.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
You have been lied to, generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror, and now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.